Welcome back to our show. Thank you for joining us on WHTC. We have with us right now Norm Smith. Good morning, Norm.
Well, good morning, Ed. Good morning to the audience.
This is the guy that has 7,000 radios in his home. Now, we got to qualify that. Transistor radios, right?
Well, in essence, probably 6,000 transistor radios and 1,000 other radios that are from the late 1919, up through the 70s.
Wow.
So two radios, consoles, cathedrals. I have quite a collection.
Oh, wow. You know, he brought me two books here, Zenith Transistor Radios and then Other Transistor Radios. The other book is called Transistor Radios from 54 to 68. And those, you said you took actual photos, those photos of every radio there in that book.
That's correct. In the 54 to 68, there are over 1,000 radios pictured all in color. And shot them actually in my dining room.
Really? Wow.
Yeah, it was quite a project. It was a nearly around-the-clock operation for about a week and a half just taking the photos once we got things set up to do it.
And these are not small pictures of these radios either. They are, you know, about, what, 400 page, something like that?
And many life-size or even larger, and they're all in color.
And you know,
so you get a real representation of what the radio looked like.
You really have a fascination with Zenith, don't you?
I do. Having grown up in western Michigan, north of Grand Rapids, where radio reception was pretty tough. Back in the day, I used to love to listen to the rock and roll on the Big 89, listen to Dick Biondi.
Sure. I remember some other, Art Roberts was on.
Oh, yeah. One of the best in radio, by
and
the way,
Art
Roberts.
One of my favorites in radio, which I kind of pattern myself after, of course, is Clark Weber in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Weber's Commandos.
Yeah, there you go. We have a great guest with us this morning. I ran into him last week, Norm Smith. He's a transistor radio collector, a broadcast band DX specialist, has an audio and video production company, Radio Ranch Productions. He's located here in Holland, also down in Bradenton, Florida. Welcome back to the microphone.
A pleasure to be back, yeah.
You know, we were kind of reminiscing here. Boy, you have some great pictures there.
Well, I've been in the radio business for 45 years and try to preserve some of the history of radio. That's what the transistor radio books were all about, because all that history is being lost. And in addition to that, any West Michigan radio stuff that I was able to come across, I've managed to save the pictures from Big Bud Lindeman back when he was at WOD, WGRD up in Grand Rapids.
Yep.
The Speedrome, which was a great racetrack back in the day, that's now US 131 North.
Wow.
But so it's kind of fun to keep some of the history alive of West Michigan radio broadcasting and television.
You know, I was telling you about our history here at WHTC. Went out of the year in 1948, and had local loaders way up until the 70s, late 70s, early 80s. I was the first full-time employee at the old WHTC FM 96.1. That was our studio. Gary Stevens' office was our first FM studio over there. And what's interesting about that, we were on the air from 3 in the afternoon. We signed on, remember, at 2:57. I went off the air at 10:15 at night. So that was my 8-hour shift. And we always had so much fun there, and we were stereo from 7 to 7:30.
Well, you know, my first job in radio was over at WJEF and WJFM in Grand Rapids. And WJEF at that time, 12:30 on the dial, was 1,000 watts, daytime, 2:50 night, which was sold fairly well. We owned the most powerful FM station in the world, WJFM, at that time.
Right.
A 500,000 watts on
which,
FM.
By the way, now it's B93.
Yeah, but at that time, FM hadn't caught on. We gave the FM to the sponsors as an addendum to buying time on the AM. My, how things have changed.
Oh, my, yes. Yeah, that was kind of a thrown in as a bonus.
So,
right?
We were giving away a 500,000 watt radio station.
I'm going to switch microphones on you here because the other one sounds a little bit better. We're going to take a break here. Oh, let's not take a break. Let's talk. We have our Charles Osgood files coming up. Talk to me now.
All right, there you go.
Well, let's see what. Let me try. Go ahead.
Well, it's still not working.
Why is this not working? I don't know. Oh, now there we go.
There we go. I can hear it.
There. Sounds a lot better, too.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than dead air.
Well, there's nothing worse when two mics don't match. You know what I'm saying?
One yes,
is
sir.
The, yeah. One is better, one is best. So there you go. So, but yeah, such great memories. I came here in 1963 out of Midwestern Broadcasting College in Chicago, where I went to school over there and learned a lot there. You know, it was. I remember times we would get commercials here at WHCC. We could ad-lib commercials out of an ad, out of a newspaper ad.
Yeah, you know, like when I started in radio, we were, at that time, still putting our spots on transcription discs.
Right.
And this new thing came along, the cart machine.
And you know what happened? I was out in California, February of 1965. I'm sorry, people. There's two radio people talking shop talk here. But, and I was at, I believe it was called Scott's Auto Stereo Center, right near NBC Studios in Burbank. And they were selling a new four-track cart machine for your car. All we had before was radio players. Remember the old RCA 45 players you could put in the car?
Yes, Highway Hi-Fi, they called it.
Highway Hi-Fi, there you go. Well, anyway, what happened was I was there. I said, yeah, I'll buy one. They're great. You can get double albums on these huge carts. And then, of course, along came years later the 8-track cart machine. Now, the difference between the 4-track tape and the 8-track tape machines was that the wheel came up, you know, and bolstered the tape against the playing heads. Where the 8-track tape, the wheel was built into the tape. That right. was the difference between 4-track and 8-track, but you got more tracks that way. But the old broadcast cartridge for years and years and years and years until maybe 10 years ago was a smaller version of the old 4-track tape.
Right, and basically the only thing that replaced it was when the computer became exactly. friendly to what we're doing.
Right, and I got caught in the middle of that, as a lot of us did, and it's just, what a transition, you know. And we had the turntables, and we had CDs, you know. And
and now we just punch it up off the computer hard drive.
You know, I said, are you going to retire someday? People ask me. I said, no. I said, someday you'll just find me slumped over a turntable. No, a computer or a CD player. Oh, a computer, you know, one of those.
One of those devices. But, you know, it's a funny thing about radio, when you get it in your blood. I think it's something that stays with you forever. I got hooked on radio when I was 8 years old.
Really?
And been involved in it ever since. And I don't see anything changing as long as I'm able to move around and do things. You know, radio's going to be my deal.
Ah, it's WHDC in the morning. And we're reminiscing down Radio Lane today. We have Norman Smith, Mr. Smith, Norm Smith. We call him Norm. He has Radio Ranch Productions. He has a home down in Florida that has included inside of it, if you buy the house, do you get all the radios?
No.
No. 7,000 radios. And we must mention, you know, a lot of those are transistor radios. Man, you ought to see his books here. He's written for, what's the name of the magazine?
Down Memory Lane magazine.
Down Memory Lane magazine. He's done some great articles on Chicago radio. He's got the solid gold years of transistor radios. It's really, really amazing. You know, I was telling him, you know, I remember the old Dumont radio or Dumont television network, radio network in the old days. And then I remember we used to have an Admiral TV set. Dad would always buy a set with a record player in the bottom. I always loved music, even when I was real young, at 5, 6, 7 years old. And we would buy the type. You'd have the TV screen on top. The radio would, or the record player would pull out the bottom, and it had a radio in it. Combo, I guess.
That's what they were.
And it was Admiral, and then we moved over to our first color set was, well, we went over to black and white first, Zenith, which is beautiful black and white TV sets. And then we went over to the Zenith color TV set, our first color TV in 1965, although RCA was the pioneer in that.
Well, they were. Zenith waited a while, but when Zenith came out, they had a better set. They were an amazing set. Zenith always paid a lot of attention to high performance. Mm-hmm. Their products were geared in that direction, well engineered. And so if you lived especially in a fringe area where reception might be a little tough, the Zenith pulled the station in loud and clear, where some of the other sets would be kind of snowy and struggling to see the picture.
And I remember, too, they had brilliant, I mean, you know, this doesn't sound very important these days, brilliant black and white sets. brilliant black and white set.
Yes, they did. Well, most of them ran, you know, 20,000, 25,000 volts at the picture tube, which gave the ability to make a pretty bright picture.
Right. Great contrast. Wonderful sets. You know, it's amazing how... Do you remember, I don't know if I asked this to you before, one of my favorite earlier, this is from the 60s. Now, everybody remembers Meyer Music House in Holland, and they sold these stereos, KLH.
KLH was a fine product out of Massachusetts.
And what was their big popular one, their most powerful model? Wasn't it Model
21.
Model 21, that was it. Because I've asked people around here that if you ever run across a KLH Model 21, I would love to have it. You know, it had the whiter, the cream-colored grills
right.
in them, and the record player and the radio built in, or the turntable, but it was an awesome-sounding set.
They were out of Cambridge, Massachusetts, and they made a real quality product. Another company from there was Advent, company.
Oh, yeah.
And another high-quality.
Yeah. Wasn't KLH at one time handled... no, maybe I'm wrong here. I'm thinking of Singer. Singer, that JCPenney sold Singer record, but do you know if Singer Sewing Machine sold record player?
Oh, as a matter of fact, I still have one.
The one with the
bought
batteries?
Bought it in 1965.
One with the batteries?
Bought
portable?
It in 1965 for $20. Still works perfect.
Really?
And, you know, in that day, there were some battery-operated record players, and most of them, as soon as the batteries got less than full life, they started to slow down and sound kind of sluggish.
Really?
But the Singer had a really well-regulated motor in it to where even right down to dead batteries, that speed was solid as a rock, and they sounded great for what they were.
Right. Tell us about, I'm looking for a song here, Matt, so while I'm doing that, I have to play a few on CD. I'm trying to find it here, the first 78 record I ever bought. Okay.
Oh, okay.
But tell us about Zenith Radio and your fascination with that corporation.
Okay, well, the way it started was my desire to get those hard-to-get radio stations, and it became evident pretty early on that Zenith built a more powerful radio than most. The radio that I wound up eventually buying was the 1961-62 Zenith Royal 500H, which was a coat pocket-sized transistor radio. And to this day, I haven't found anything that will outperform it. Real powerful reception. Daytime, no problem to get anything from here in Holland. I can listen to Cincinnati, Escanaba, Detroit, Chicago, Milwaukee. Of course, Milwaukee isn't too hard from here. Cedar Rapids, Iowa, all the way down to St. Louis. Nighttime, you can listen to stations all the way from Boston to Los Angeles. And that's the beauty of AM radio. By the way, for the audience to know, what AM really stands for? Absolutely magic, because that's what it is. It even with 250 watts on a clear channel, it can go and go and go. You can hear it for so many miles, and that's the beauty of AM radio. But anyway, the Zenith radios were more powerful. That's how I got really involved with doing the book, was looking for that most powerful radio. I started going to Zenith service shops, especially old ones that had been around for a long time. Started finding old literature from the Zenith Radio Corporation from back in that era. Started making that collection of all that material. And it took me basically 40 years to put together everything I needed to do the Zenith book. And it's a comprehensive book. It lists every Zenith transistor radio made from 1955, which was their first, up through 1965 or 6, which was basically about the end of the good days for transistor radios. After that, the technology had started to migrate to other things, and the magic was over for the AM transistor radio.
Well, we're going to reminisce with some music here. I'll do a couple of songs right now of some of my first records I bought, okay? And this was the first 78 record that I ever bought, and I love this song. And it was done on Columbia Records. Okay, do you remember this song?
Yellow Rose.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yellow Rose of Texas.
That's right, by Mitch Miller and the gang. We have to play a little bit of this, okay? We're alive.
Absolutely. Good song.
There's a yellow rose in Texas.
That was a great song. We used to play that and march around the record player all the time.
Well, you know, it was. Popular music in that era was so interesting because there was so much diversity. You had that kind of music. You had Dean Martin. You had Bill Haley and the Comets. So you had hard rocking rock and roll. You had middle of the road, Steve Lawrence,
yeah.
Pretty Blue Eyes, stuff
yeah.
like that. A lot of instrumental selections.
I'm
crossover
back,
country.
Yeah, I'm way in the middle 50s right now. You just showed me a picture of one of the places. My big dream in life was to work as an A&R director at the Capitol Record Tower. And remember when Jack Wagner had these promo Capitol Record albums out, previewing Capitol albums for the month? He gave me a tour of that building one day. And people don't realize that that main street, the Round Tower, the recording studio was on the main sidewalk. I mean, the building right on the main sidewalk there. That's that famous Capitol Studio A. Frank Sinatra did all his recordings there. And I have another one here that I'm going to play right now. By the way, an interesting aspect. This was unbelievable. This year at the Academy Awards, there was no orchestra in the Kodak Theater. Where they were doing the Academy Awards, they were in Capitol A at doing all the music live for that background for the Kodak Theater for the Academy Awards this year. That's unbelievable.
Yes, it is.
Bill Conti was there directing the orchestra. Here is another big artist, lesser known, but I used to like him. And you remember Les Baxter?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and this was his big hit back in the 50s.
Yes, the poor people of Paris.
Poor people of Paris, yes. Ah, these songs bring back such memories. Such a good time, you know?
They were. Radio, the music list at that time was so enjoyable.
It was, very listenable, and we would, I remember riding down to Florida, we would hear things, you know, by different artists, and we really enjoyed what we heard. I'm looking for another one here that I love to play. By the way, we have our Zealand Car Show coming up this weekend. You'll hear some of that music at the Zealand Car Show, the show in Chine, Friday and Saturday. 20th anniversary. Hundreds of cars. I think last year we had 250 cars. It's just amazing. But I have another song I can remember. And you know how we associate memories to music? And I remember this song back, and we were sitting, I think it was 58 or 59, we were sitting in a restaurant along the Sioux Locks, up at Sault Ste. Marie. And this wonderful song came up on the turntable, and I still play this at car shows today, and it's still right in style today. I'll say the Four Preps. Remember them?
Absolutely.
This is their big hit.
I
remember the
miles.
Sioux Locks, yeah.
26 miles across the sea, Santa Catalina is awake.
I still like that song.
Well, that's a great song, and they followed that up with Down by the Station, which
Down
is
by
another
the Station.
Great song.
Yeah, and then they also did I Was a Big Man Yesterday.
Absolutely.
But boy, you ought to see me now. Well, we're just reminiscing here.
Those were, by the way, Capitol recordings.
I know they were. Yeah, Capitol Records. Yeah, I actually got taken out to lunch and got a tour from Jack Wagner, and it was so exciting because I don't think many people visited him there, particularly, and he was so nice. And you know what Jack used to play? He was in a famous TV series. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
He was the, quote-unquote here, the soda jerk in the drugstore on The Adventures of Ozzie and Harriet.
Oh, isn't that
yes,
interesting?
Jack Wagner, and the brother of Roger Wagner, the Roger Wagner Corral.
Very
yeah,
good.
Yeah. So, and they were on Capitol Records too. Well, we've learned way too much looking back here, but it's fun, isn't it? We have a good time.
It is. It is.
Now, where did you get started in collecting all these records? We've got about 2 minutes here.
The and records or the radios? Because I collect both.
I'm sorry, the radios. I'm getting confused here.
Yeah. The radios, as I said, it started with a desire to find the most powerful radio I could. And in this eternal search for that, I came across a bunch of really interesting radios. When I moved to Florida back in the early 70s, I was working at a retail, part-time at a retail store, and in the electronics department, people used to come in and they would have these radios that they needed batteries for, or they wanted to buy a new one, and they had an old one they wanted to get rid of. And I started out with just the Zenith radios because that was my primary area of interest. Mm-hmm. And regretfully, I didn't save some of the other ones that came in the door. After a little while, the light finally came on, and I realized that, yeah, Zenith made the best, but there were some other really good ones out there as well. And so at that point, I started collecting the other ones as well. And so it's just been a passion of mine for all that many years. My wife puts up with a lot, obviously. The good news is she doesn't have to keep them clean or dust them off. That's my job. But needless to say, she does tolerate a menagerie of almost 7,000 radios, which most young ladies probably wouldn't care to do.
Exactly.
The good news is I had the bad habits before I had the wife.
So
she knew it was part of the program when, you know, when we met. We've been married 26 years.
Well, you know, when people say girls grow up to be women, boys grow up to be bigger boys.
Well, the only difference is the price of their toys.
That's right, exactly.
Hey, la dee ding dong, a lang a lang a lang, boom ba do, ba do ba do ba bay. Oh, life could be a dream if I could take you up in paradise.
We are reminiscing radio right now, old time radio, and Norm is with us, Norm Smith, and thanks for joining us this morning. We're getting calls from listeners this morning, aren't we?
Just had a nice call from a young lady. She's listening to us on her late 50s Philco transistor radio.
Really? Late 50s.
Made with genuine cowhide cabinet. Really nice radio. Philco made some really
radio. Wait a minute here. General cowhide cabinet?
Genuine.
Wow.
Genuine cowhide, top grain cowhide cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Which was, Philco made some very nice products. Philco was a real strong company back in that era, as was Admiral. You mentioned Admiral.
Right.
In the late 50s up into the early 60s, all those companies were pretty strong companies, had some really high-quality products, and what, many survived today.
What did you have in your book here, that saying on the wall that we have at the station here on Brett Allen's story?
Yes.
I just love this phrase.
Yes.
I don't necessarily agree with it.
Well, that's because you do radio, but radio, helping ugly people with nice voices get employed since 1897.
Thank you. Very nice. Hey, what movie was this song recently in? Not by the Crew Cutter, but by the Chords, remember? You...
I probably missed the movie.
Oh, you missed the movie? Shaboom Shaboom was in Cars, the movie from Disney.
Oh, okay.
Pixar, the Cars. Yeah,
makes sense. That would fit in real well.
The first movie, yes, the first one. But now you have radios and more radios and more radios. And you were saying you have all types of radios.
Right. In addition to the transistor radios, I also have an awful lot of radios, console radios from the 40s, 30s, 40s, which was really the time that the best console radios were made. The technology had improved to the point where high fidelity was possible and long-distance performance. Many of the companies made some really good radios, especially late 30s, up until World War II. And so I have a number of those. I probably have about 25 or 30 different consoles between here and Florida. The one I use up here right now is a 1941 Zenith 10S565, which is a tremendously good radio. You can't believe the fidelity. People come to the house and they say, oh, it must be FM. I say, no, that's AM, and that's how good AM can sound if you have a good radio. And at that time, they were building really good radios. So in addition to that, I have, from the 50s and 60s, some of the little clock radios, table radios that were interesting. I also have a lot of broadcast equipment, having been in the business. I've got a microphone collection of over 100 microphones, many of them from the 20s on up. I have two historically significant microphones, one which was spoke on by FDR, and one which was spoke on by Adolf Hitler and at the 1936 Munich Olympics. And so I like my broadcast equipment as well. I have a couple of control boards and try to keep radio alive.
That's great. And we have a phone call here. Hi, you're on the air with Norm.
Hi, I'm enjoying your program.
Well, great.
I'm probably about the same age you guys are. And I was wondering... We used to listen when we did our homework in the 60s, early 60s, to a radio station out of, the Grand Ole Opry was on it every evening. Do you recall what station that
was? Yes, and as a matter of fact, it's WSM in Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay.
650 on your dial, and you can still hear the Grand Ole Opry every Friday and Saturday night on that station.
Oh, perfect. Thank you.
And there was another radio station that was out that did barn dancing.
That was KWKH in Shreveport had the Louisiana Hayride.
And also WLS in the early days.
In the early
right?
days,
oh, yeah.
actually,
WLS.
In fact.
We did listen to that also.
Really?
Actually, the WLS barn dance was there before the Grand Ole Opry.
And WLS stands for the world's largest store, right?
Which is because they were owned by Sears Roebuck and Company
really?
Back in that era.
Oh, so. Very interesting. Now, what was that place I can still get it? 650.
650 on your AM dial.
Yeah.
And every Friday and Saturday night, and also on Tuesday nights, the Grand Ole Opry is on. And it's a real interesting station to listen to at night.
Great. Thank you.
Sweet, sweet. Memories you gave of me, you can't beat.
Oh, memories are made of this, and they sure, when you think of, you sure think of radio when you think of memories. And you know who used to be a cabinet maker for Philco? It was Duke Vinas. Is that
for
true?
Zenith.
Oh, for Zenith. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
For Zenith, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So you weren't in radio all your life?
Just about.
Except for that 2 months you worked in.
Now, this was a little table model Zenith that was made of plywood.
Right.
And they'd put the plywood in a machine that would bend it to the shape that they wanted. And it had a big, like a V on the front, and the speaker came through there. It was a 5.2 model.
5.2 model.
Yeah.
How much did it retail for? Do you remember?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
Wow.
But Zeniths were probably high-end radios, usually.
And I think, Norm, you can testify to that fact, right?
Well, absolutely. They were the Rolls-Royce of radio at the
mm-hmm.
time. There was nobody else that made anything that came close. Zenith paid attention to all the small details. There were other companies. Philco made some really good radios.
Mm-hmm.
And but their cabinets weren't particularly great, although the electronics were excellent. But Zenith paid great attention to even the hardware that it was assembled with. It was all high quality. And that was one reason they cost a little more, because, as Zenith used to say, the quality goes in before the name goes on, and there was a lot of truth to that.
That's right. I sprayed the final coat lacquer on the cabinets.
Really? In Holland here? Did you do that?
In Grand Haven.
Grand Haven, okay.
Evans Products Company did the cabinets.
I remember the old saying, for my uncle used to work for General Electric, GE. And remember the old GE Theater with Ronald Reagan?
Yes,
and
sure.
The saying used to be, progress is our most important product. And my uncle used to say, progress is our most important problem.
Well, you know, it's kind of like, you know,
going back
to those days of the slogans of the companies, Westinghouse.
Yeah.
You can be sure if it's Westinghouse.
Sure.
Well, at the radio shop, and we used to repair those, we used to say, you can be sure it's no good if it's Westinghouse.
Oh, wow. And who sold Westinghouse? That was Betty Furness, wasn't it, on TV?
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
and
did.
Actually, they made some pretty good product as well.
Westinghouse did, yeah. Well, it's so much fun to remember. I think we can do this all day long. Juke will be back. We'll talk of the Tump.
Yes.
Thank you, Juke.
9:30.
Great sidebar there. That's wonderful. And good to know that you worked on cabinets in your lifetime. You know what I used to do? My only other job I had, working for my dad at Repco Light Paints, filling paint thinner bottles.
Well, that sounds exciting.
That was my other career, yes. I remember I was on the radio in the afternoon and filling paint thinner bottles in the morning at Repco Light. So that was always fun to do. So not at that time, radio, it still does, seems very glamorous. Hey, we got another call coming in. Maybe this is radio-related. Good morning, caller. Would you like to talk to our guest?
Well, I was just enjoying your walk down memory lane, and it made me start thinking. I was at the car show on the 4th of July in Grass Cup, and I just wanted to mention it. I thought, you know, Ed, you should make some CDs that the public can buy. Your collection is just a phenomenal collection of oldies, and I think you could make some nice collections of 60s, 70s stuff.
Sure.
People would snarf that stuff up, you know, kind of use the background of the old EBS soundtracks, and, you know.
That would be a lot of fun. Yeah.
I know I'd appreciate it, and I'd buy them.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I've always been toying with the idea of maybe doing a 24-hour oldies network internet radio station. Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So,
yeah, if you could ever come up with a CD set like that for sale, I'd be interested in it.
Yeah. I'd have to check in royalties. I'd probably owe a lot in royalties if I did that, but it's a great idea. Thanks. By the way, coming to Zealand this weekend?
Could very well be.
Yeah, I'll be there Friday and Saturday. Play the
oldies. All right.
Thank you.
Good.
Thanks for calling in. That's nice when people, when you get feedback from people about stuff like that. You know, it's very important.
Absolutely. Radio, old cars, old popular music. Wow, what a marriage of good stuff.
You know what? We're talking about WGTO Radio, and where was that? In
Cypress Gardens,
Cypress
Florida.
Cypress Gardens, Florida. We used to go there, watch the water skiers, and Esther Williams. Remember, she made a movie there.
Right, that's now Legoland, by the way.
Oh, is it really?
Yes, it is.
All times change. So we've got another call. Good morning, caller. Would you like to talk to Norm this morning?
Well, I'll talk to anybody.
All right. We'll talk about radio?
Yeah. The other caller said something about, you know, a 24-hour oldie station.
That would be fun.
Well, if he has AT&T U-verse, there is an...
There's
oldies.
Right. There's a lot of these satellite services and even TV services that offer audio to stuff like that. They certainly are around. All you got to do is look for them.
Yeah.
And listen to them.
Sometimes if I can't sleep during the night, I'll put that on because I have a TV that will shut off automatically after a certain amount of time.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. I'm kind of running short of time here. You know, we were talking about this morning, we were talking about WGTO Radio, Cypress Gardens, Florida, and they were powerful.
50,000 watts during the day.
50,000 watts. And what did GTO stand for besides the muscle car from Pontiac?
Well, actually, the call letters, I think, were before the car, but it was Gulf to Ocean because that
really?
Was the area served by the station with 50,000 watts. It covered Central Florida very nicely. If you had a good radio, you could pull it out. And at that time, they were non-directional during the day, 50,000 watts, and covered Gulf to Ocean real well. Later on, I worked part-time over there, and they moved up to Pine Hills, Florida, with a six-tower directional.
Six towers.
And it made the and at night, they had to go on that directional pattern to protect other radio stations.
Yeah.
And it was kind of funny because they were down to the southwest of Orlando, and beamed that signal up the I-4 corridor through Orlando up to Daytona Beach, which at night could come in very well.
Really?
And also came in very well in England.
England?
But you could be within sight of the towers in the other direction and not be able to hear the station at night. That's how directional that antenna array was.
And the reason they got it in England, because of Skywave, or it would bounce
right,
off the
ionosphere. And the fact it was being beamed in that direction.
We like, you know, I'm looking, you have to see these books that you have, all these different style of transistor radios.
Amazing, the diversity there was in those. It was a big fad. It was the iPod of its time back in the late 50s.
Oh, sure.
1955, it started to really blossom. The same thing, same time as rock and roll. It was a marriage between the two, and that's what I think made the transistor radio as popular as it became. It gave us lightweight portability, something you could take radio with you wherever you went, and which says a lot even for today when there's a disaster and times are tough. Good old AM radio is the place where you're going to get your information that's going to save your life if there's ever a disaster. And that's so true even today. You look at what happened out northeast with Hurricane Sandy, and AM radio was there for the people and really served them well. The transistor radio gives you the ability when everything's down to still be in touch.
Go over to the other microphone, man, because I have to.
Other
source I'm trying to get to.
Is that mic working?
Yeah, both are working. But I wanted to get to this song. Did you know, and I'm sure you do remember this, that there was a song out in the 60s?
Freddie Cannon.
That's right, an actual song with transistor in the title, right?
Absolutely. Great song.
Isn't that a great song?
Yeah.
Well, I have to honestly say that I'm always relieved at 9:30 when this time comes around. I get a break for the morning, but I'm sorry. I had a great time this morning.
I did as well.
I want to go on and on. Norm, thank you so much.
A pleasure to be sure, Ed.